I'm so thankful for your advice. I love how intelligent and eloquent you are, and still have love
and given me some great guidance and direction, and now it's up to me to execute it.
I feel a lot better just working through it. I thank you so much.
I feel like you already are instilling more confidence in me that this is possible.
Sick of sacrificing or settling in your romantic life? Welcome to Make Him Wonder with Coach Paula Grooms, where women struggling in real relationships ask the expert. Unscripted, unfiltered, understandable coaching conversations to help passionate women succeed in love.
Hi there, and welcome to Make Him Wonder. I'm your host, Coach Paula, a dating and relationship coach for women, licensed social worker, and author of the book, Why Won't He Commit? How a Man Decides to Make You the One. I coach you to find a potential Mr. Right, get an ex back, or grow an existing relationship with a man you truly desire, and learn how to inspire his continued interest for the relationship of your dreams so that you level up to the complete commitment you totally deserve. My guest today is 39-year-old divorced mom Bev, who is dating 47-year-old Juan. Several months ago, Juan asked Bev to be exclusive, and the two had sex. But Bev says that she didn't know that exclusively dating was different than being committed, and it's clearly different to Juan. After Bev came home from a girls' trip to Miami a few weeks ago, Juan seems to be withdrawing. Bev is not clear if it's Juan's current financial issues that are the cause of him retreating, or if the overall difference in their lifestyle, education, and income are at the root of the problem. Bev comes on Make Him Wonder today wanting my take on what she is looking at as her two options as a nearly 40-year-old divorced woman with three children. Should she consider rekindling things with her ex-husband who is educationally and financially successful, or keep dating and just lower her expectations? Welcome, Bev.
Hello, thank you.
Absolutely. I'm a bit sad to hear that you believe these are your two options, but I have to say, I understand it.
Okay.
So I want to dive into what has happened that has gotten you to this place of feeling like those are your two options. And to that end, I want to ask you first, before we get into one, about your marriage and divorce. When did you get divorced?
So we legally separated in 2019, and we've been legally divorced, like it finalized in 2021.
So you've been legally divorced as of this recording for 3 years?
Yes.
And then you were separated for about two or three?
Before that? Yeah, about 2 years before that, yeah.
I see.
It's been 2 years, yeah.
How long were you married?
We were married for almost, before the separation, the legal separation, almost 6 years.
And are these three children his?
Yes. My oldest is 10, then I have an 8-year-old, and then I have a 6-year-old. We married in 2013. Everything happened quickly. We were married by August of that year, and our son was born in February of the following year. So we were like a couple months pregnant when we got married.
I see. So it sounds like a whirlwind. How did that happen so quickly?
I'm not really sure how it happened so quickly. I just know I was new to California. I had just come from Ohio, and I got here, and it felt like California was, you know, the Bay Area, at least for me, was like the land of milk and honey. I was a nurse, and, you know, I still am a nurse. And here, nurses make way more than what I was making where I was at. And there were all these guys in Silicon Valley. And, you know, I'm in the mix of all of this, you know, and I guess I'm a nice-looking woman, so. And I met him, and like I didn't know too many things about certain things, but he went to one of the best schools in the world, and he was a high earner. He owned, you know, his own home in one of the most expensive areas, the Bay Area, and he was ready. He was looking for a wife. You know, we spoke on the phone, and I was looking for a husband. He was like, I'm looking for a wife. I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking for a husband, you know? So it just kind of went from there, and he really wanted children, and I really wanted children. We felt like we were getting older, you know, like it took us a while before we even kissed, like months. Like we didn't even kiss for like 3 months, but we kissed and, you know, ended up, it went further than that very quickly, and we ended up pregnant within 2 months of us kissing. And it was just like, he was just like, okay, well, he said, how do you want the wedding to be? You know, so that was just like his response to me being pregnant. It's like, okay, well, we're getting married now. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. That's just kind of how it went.
Wow, that's quite the story. It's amazing. You say you did not kiss for 3 months. Did you meet online?
We did.
And how did it work out or come to pass that you did not even kiss for 3 months?
So I think that maybe my situation is unique in the sense that because of where he was coming from culturally, and I also believe that he was also, I believe he was a virgin as well. So his head was in his books.
I see. How old was he at the time?
He was 28. His head was in his books. Yeah, he was 28.
And do you mind disclosing what cultural background he comes from?
Yeah, he is from, he's from Ghana.
I see. Okay. Wonderful. So he was respectful and he wanted to take it slow, and you were good with that too?
Yes.
I see. Got it. So, were you in love?
You know, I thought that I was in love. I really did think I was in love. You know, I love, for me, and I don't know if it's like me being a Virgo or whatnot, I believe love is a choice, or a thought I was seeing at that moment. I chose to love him at the moment, and because of how it, you know, I guess, I don't know, because of how it looked on paper and how it felt, you know, the things that, this was something new for me, considering the fact that the guys, you know, the guys who I had dated before, it was always this, they, you know, would be so lovey-dovey, but they were always really, really broke, you know, and I was really tired of, like, the bums that didn't have any direction in life and all of this type of stuff. So I met him, and it would just seem like an extreme upgrade in so many different ways, and I chose to love him.
And it sounds like that was a good choice. What happened along the way that prompted the divorce?
I don't know if it's because of like his, because of the way he thinks, you know, like he is really techie, and because of the education level, and because he's like he was like a, you know, like a genius, all these type of things. It's not really easy for him to connect with people emotionally. So when we would have issues, he would go silent on me. I wouldn't even know what I did sometimes, you know, for 3 months. There would be silent treatment over something that I didn't even understand what I did sometimes. And it got to a point where if I even wanted to talk to him, he wanted me to schedule a conversation. I had to put it on a schedule to talk to my husband, who I live in the same house with. There were certain things that he did that were just like, okay, we're not really connecting. You know, at a certain point, he wanted to put a spending limit on our date night. And this is after I had had my third child, and I'm really struggling, you know, because, you know, we had the children kind of back to back. I'm struggling, like, on so many levels, you know, needing to feel love, needing to connect to him. And the date nights, for me, I felt like that was part of us connecting. We needed to connect. We had just had all these, you know, these children back to back, and he put a $30 limit on our dates. Mind you, it's like a multi six-figure household. It didn't make sense at all. Why are we putting a $30 limit? You know, and even in the beginning, our wedding bands came from Walmart, which made no sense considering the income level. You know, it made no sense. Like, why are our wedding bands from Walmart? And then at a certain point, like, in our marriage, he stopped wearing his ring, you know, and I kept asking him, like, why aren't you wearing your ring? And he just kind of brushed me off about it, you know, like, oh, well, it bothers my finger, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that he was, like, you know, sleeping around.
Well, I'm going to just interject something here that I think you may have already come to understand. But in terms of the buying the rings at Walmart and the $30 limit on date night, when you know financially that doesn't really coincide with what he has, etc. If you consider where he came from and likely what he's seen in his life in terms of poverty, etc., it makes some sense. Is that the case, or did he come from a wealthy family?
No, his family was not. Like, see, he comes from a royal family, but they were still very broke. So much so that his mom said that for his naming ceremony, they didn't even have money to buy the juice when he was born.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So he's had a lot of trauma and has done super well for himself, amazingly well, coming to another country, different culture, only 28 at the time, and was as successful as he was. I can imagine it was due to his brilliance and the dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that this was so difficult, and I understand how it would be very difficult. You were born in America?
Yes.
Yeah, so being, you know, born and bred here, the cultural differences alone, no matter what, are difficult. But add in the issues I'm hearing of his rigidness must have been extremely difficult.
Yes, and that, and rigid is the understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you say now that you even think about going back. What are your thoughts and feelings around that? First of all, what is the situation with him and your co-parenting and the relationship you have now?
We do well as co-parents. I don't have any issues. You know, we just, we're doing what's in the best interest of the children. They go to private school. If I tell him they need something, I don't have to, you know, ask twice for most things. We're very cooperative. If he needs me to switch certain days because he has to do something for work, then I'm like, okay, we can switch those days, and it's vice versa. He'll do the same for me. So it's been very cooperative for the most part.
So what makes you feel or think about going back?
Well, you know, since I have not been there, it's been rough out here. This is, you know, and I do feel that in some ways, because of who I was married to, it makes it very hard for, like, anybody I date, if they learn anything about who I was married to, that they feel kind of small, if that makes any sense.
Bev, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, like, I don't think I can do better than him, if that makes any sense. I don't think I can go further up, not as a 40-year-old woman with three children now. I don't think I'll do better than that.
Well, let's look at the word better, because if you could have a man that could navigate the not being on par financially with your ex, but was warm, loving, fun, good father, smart, and made his own living in whatever way, would you be good with that?
I would. Yes, I would. Yes.
So in essence, would that be better?
I do believe that it would be better for me. Yes.
Okay. So if I were to give you a choice between a man that I just described and going back to your ex, which would be better for you?
The man that you just described, it would be better than going back.
Okay, so there you go. Do you believe that scenario of that man is possible?
I do. I do believe that it's possible.
Great, because you need to believe it is possible. And we go from there. Ergo, Juan, how do you feel about him? Because it sounds like part of what we're dealing with is the issue we just described, but we need to find out, is he all those other good things, albeit he may not be as financially together?
Well, it seems, I know that he has more emotional intelligence thus far. Like, I've observed him in many, you know, in different situations. He's very much a family-oriented. He has been a really good father to his own children, because he also has three. His daughter, he's putting her through a really good college right now. She has one more year left. And his sons have both kind of followed in his footsteps. He's a diesel mechanic. And, you know, he, according to him, he makes good money. He's proud of what he makes as a diesel mechanic. And his sons are both following in his footsteps. And it seems like he's the glue that holds his, like, extended family unit together.
How did you meet Juan?
I met him online.
And how long have you been seeing him?
So it's, I guess it's going into month 5 now.
Okay. And where are things today? with him?
Where are things? According to him, we are exclusive, and that we are moving towards being in a, you know, I guess a committed boyfriend-girlfriend situation. But it seems like his view of what a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship is what I would consider a marriage. So for him, it seems like he views that relationship, that commitment, as a marriage because he has never been married before. He was with the woman who he has children with for 12 years, but they never got married. But they lived together and, you know, they had three children. To him, there's a difference in what we see certain things is. So for him, boyfriend, girlfriend is almost like his, even though his parents were married, you know, all their lives, you know, up until their death, it seems like that's, he views that as, yeah, like almost like a marriage.
I see. Okay. So he's saying to you that you are exclusive. What does he mean by that?
So what he means by that is that, you know, we're not seeing other people, that I'm not dating anyone else, that he's not dating anyone else, that, of course, we're not having sex with anyone else. That is what he means by exclusive.
Okay. But you, in our intro here, feel that that's different than being committed. Although you're seeing each other exclusively, you're not committed. What do you mean when you say committed?
Well, for me, and I don't know if it's that I can't see in his brain and it's that things are just working different in his head than they're working for me. For me, the label does actually mean something, and that it communicates to others the seriousness of the relationship. You know, like I've met his family, his children, even the woman who he had children with, I've met them, and they consider me his significant other. But as he is, like when I was being introduced to one of his friends on the phone asking for some advice around my car, I was introduced as his friend. And I think I have a trigger around that because I know so many women who have gotten pregnant by friends, you know, in quotation marks, you know, friends. And then these guys don't help with anything. You know, they treat them poorly because it was a friend, you know. So that being called someone's friend when we are more than friends is problematic for me.
Yes, understood. So I'm confused about a couple of things. You say that you've met his family and even the woman with whom he had children, etc. How were you introduced to them, or what do they know it to be?
He just introduced me by my name. Like, and he made it a point to introduce me to everyone, like, you know, like kind of take me around and introduce me to everyone. And they just know me by my name. He just said, this is Bev.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they were just like, okay, bye, you know.
Okay.
Significant other. They, and just how he was, you know, treating me during the event. They decided that I was his significant other.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's this one guy on the phone that you feel more triggered by, I would assume, because what I'm hearing is that he was relating via action. He brought you around, this is Bev, and then personally made introductions. He was showing you via action and showing them via action pretty much your relationship.
Yes.
Okay. But this man on the phone, he said friend. Did you ask him about that afterwards or say anything about it?
I didn't initially. No, I didn't say anything initially, but I did end up bringing it up like later when we had a conversation, you know, just letting him know that, yeah, I don't want to be introduced as his friend when, you know, we're clearly more than that.
Got it.
Yeah.
So tell me about that conversation.
Yeah, well, I'm not really too sure what to say about the conversation. But when I told him, you know, he just said that he understands and that, you know, we're clearly more than just friends. And that was kind of really it.
So he didn't give you any explanation as to why he used that term?
No, not really. Not really.
All right. So we need to get to where you are now with things. So it seems to me that you want to truly know where you stand with Juan. And heretofore, although it's only been 5 months, you haven't felt secure in where you stand with him. Am I right on that?
Yeah, in some ways, yes. Yeah, I need more clarity. I don't have any inkling that he's, like, dating other people. I don't have any issues with, like, you know, with getting in contact with him or anything like that. It's just, yeah. And it wouldn't even be such an important issue if there weren't other things that had occurred between us that made me say, hey, look, like, if this type of, you know, these types of activities are occurring, that we need to have a greater form of commitment to each other, because these actions can result in the highest form of commitment, which is bringing forth life. So, yeah, because it wouldn't have even come up, and it wouldn't even be an issue if it weren't for certain things that had occurred.
Okay, so now we get to it, and we need to hear a little bit about that so that I can help you navigate that. And you want to walk away today knowing what? What do you want to most know? Because I think we disavowed you of, hopefully, considering going back to your ex. Has that, you know, can you take that off the table?
I can. It's difficult because, you know, we have the 3 children, and it's like, but I know he can't change. I know he is not going to change, and I don't want to do more months of silent treatment again, but it's difficult for me to take that off the table, but I will take it off the table.
I hope you will, because the issues you're talking about may not be able to be changed. In other words, I'm hearing that on the positive side, in terms of possible change, this man has what we would consider just run-of-the-mill, you know, issues related to control, driven by what he had as a child. That's on the one hand, the positive side. On the not so positive side, could be given, and again, I'm not diagnosing here, but I'm suggesting that there may be something that will not change, and that could be that he, with his genius and what he is displaying to you in terms of the extreme rigidness, could be something along the lines of Asperger's or quite high on the spectrum, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yes, that's not going to change.
Okay. I don't feel like it'll change either. So, So it's hard, but I'm taking it off the table. I'm willing to completely release it from my spectrum of possibilities.
I like hearing that. I think that will serve you well. I think it will. And I understand with any divorce situation, it doesn't mean he's not a good dad. Doesn't mean he's not a good man, even. That's not what we're talking about here. It's that having a relationship with him, if you want any amount of connection in a more normative way, is going to be likely not possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Romantic relationship. Now the kids, hopefully they have a good relationship with him.
Yes, hopefully, yeah.
Yes, but for you, you're telling me that you have a career that is good and that you can support yourself, and hopefully you have a good situation in terms of being financially taken care of for the children by your ex, and you have a good co-parenting relationship with him. Great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Now we look at someone like Juan. If you love him and you want this to go the distance, we need to get to what are the issues there that you believe are keeping you from that. And I want to do that when we come back. I trust you're enjoying Make Him Wonder and that you're getting a lot of helpful information for the life of love you desire and deserve. So if you're not part of the 80-20 Wonder Club yet, you need to be, because now Make Him Wonder is exclusive. A members-only club to listen to every episode, past, present, and future, in full, all ad-free. The 80-20 Wonder Club is a Make Him Wonder membership that gives you all of seasons 1, 2, and 3 in a categorized list by age and relationship status, and a multimedia library of my content, including my book, Relationship Evals, and my Mechanics of Men Mindset Manual, a weekly action step you can focus on to attract and keep the man of your dreams and have him committing to you completely in the coming months. Make this the moment you start living as an 80-20 Wonder Woman, because love, like life, is best lived in 80-20. When you do 80% of what works with men, the 20% you don't won't much matter. Join the 80-20 Wonder Club by going to the 8020wonder.club. Don't miss out. Go now to the 8020wonder.club. You and your man will be glad you did. I'm not hearing necessarily a bad situation here. You got triggered by him using the word friend, but that's all on a scale for him of just what is comfortable, and we don't really know why that was. But if you can get greater commitment and clarity on that, would you want that?
Like, would I want a relationship, like a deeper relationship with him?
Yes. Yes. Do you love him enough? Do you find him to be enough for you in that way?
I think so. I think there are certain things that I'm having a little bit of an issue with, but I'm willing to accept them. Like his view of like a good time. I mean, he's really into cars, and it might just be because he is a man and I am a woman. So there's certain differences from that standpoint. But he likes these, like this raggedy hole-in-the-wall bar he took me to on one of our dates. And I'm like, I never have to step foot in a place like this again, you know. And he lives in, he's inherited a house from his parents. It's in a really bad neighborhood. And it seems like he's really committed to staying there. And I definitely could not stay there with him. But outside of those things, and the way he dresses, he's almost 50, and this is all external stuff, so it's like it's not really big, terrible stuff. But I guess it just makes me wonder about other things concerning him, and I'm just trying to be open and just like, okay, he keeps reaching towards me, and when I say certain things to him, he does try to make changes to accommodate me, if that makes any sense. Like he is putting forth effort.
I see. Okay. What I'm thinking is that have quite the dichotomy here. Your ex on the one hand and the life you led with him, and then Juan and his proclivities. I'm wondering if you have thought about that there will be something for you that's more in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. And that might be it too, because it's just like I can't go from one extreme to, and I think that's it, you know, just what he thinks of as fun. There's a big difference between, because like I like luxury stuff, you know, and I can afford it even on my own without any help, but it seems like he prefers not to do the luxury thing, and yeah, just the commitment to living in a really bad neighborhood where he has to tell people to move out of his yard and, you know, all of the different things that go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering for you what it is in terms of your stuff, so to speak, that has allowed you to get into the situation.
The situation with Juan?
Yes, but also I guess what I'm hearing overall, and this is the first time, of course, that we've ever talked, and I don't have any of your other history, but there's something for you that I'm wondering about that has allowed you to be almost steered in certain directions and not taking stock of all that you are and knowing that you can have something that you truly desire and choose. And I'm thinking that this harkens back to more of your belief system and what was programmed in you. Here's why I say that. You have achieved yourself a good career and life, and this stuff with your relationships is very, very different than the self-concept you have in terms of being career Bev and all that you know you can achieve and deserve in that area of life. And this is for all of us, because our programming mostly deals with our deserve level related to love relationships. You've likely heard me talk about the programming that we get from birth to age 7. What was going on for you then? Not that you'll necessarily remember, but what just factually was happening? Were you in a two-parent home? What was going on with your mom at that time?
Yeah, so a lot was going on. So my parents, they were married and they were together, but it was a very abusive relationship. I would see plates flying across the living room, and they would just get into fights about anything. Like, it would just go from zero to, you know, blow up. And my mom told my dad that I wasn't his child at a certain point, so I would have to call him. I couldn't call him dad sometimes. I'd have to call him, you know, by his last name, Mr. and by his last name. And I think that was very hurtful for me to go through. And I know that, and my sister would say that he wasn't really my dad. So those are some of the things that I had to deal with. And of course, I found out that he really was my dad, like right before I was about to graduate from high school.
So Bev, I'm really sorry to hear that. When did that start happening? How old were you?
I was probably very young. You know, I was young enough. Like, I know I was young when all of that stuff happened, yeah.
Meaning under 7?
Yeah, more than likely, yeah.
When you were told not to call him dad anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And you had how many siblings at that time?
Just one sibling.
Older sister?
Younger sister.
Younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And was she the daughter of your father as well?
Yes.
Okay. But it was only you that was told not to call him dad?
Yes, because my mom told him that I was not his child, that I was somebody else's child.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So we're getting to something here. That's very traumatic. Right now, as the adults we are, we can conceptualize all of it, understand that it had nothing to do with you, that it is abusive, all that we can rationalize about it. But when it was happening to you without your adult knowledge and the psychology of a child, which all of us, no matter what, no one escapes this, when we are less than 7 years old, whatever happens to us, we interpret and connote as that we are the cause of it. So it wasn't that this was a messed up situation that you were the victim of. You interpreted it psychologically, which all children do, as you were the cause of it. Something intrinsically about you made this situation come to the fore. And that had to have affected your self-worth related to relationships and love, not your achievement, you see? In other words, you going on and achieving all that you did, that's completely separate. It's like it's a different entity in you. This makes a lot of sense regarding what you have likely endured, and we've only gotten the surface stuff, I'm sure, but what you have endured with men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the reason we went through that is because you have to know that you now can change this, and you can have love and connection and someone who can be in your life in a way that you can have that. But you've got to work on yourself and get yourself right to really make any decisions regarding Juan and or anyone else other, you know, than your ex, which we said we cannot change that, and you cannot get that connection and love from him. He's not capable of doing that, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And has no desire to change it. If he did, he would have done it to keep his family together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you need to get to work on your stuff to have what you want going forward with any man, because stuff from your programming, if not quelled, will take over. And I'm hearing that you're still doing really well with it, But of course then you're going to be triggered by Juan calling you his friend. Think about what you endured as a little girl of not being chosen. That programming is in you, and of course it's going to come out in maybe an overblown way. And what I mean by that is that he may not have meant anything by it. We don't know. But your visceral reaction to it is because of your programming of not being chosen, wanted, worthy. And we're not even getting into what perhaps happened with your dad then, questioning whether you were his or not. It's just terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do feel some sadness. Yeah. You know, I know, and it's one of those things where I thought that I feel like I've done some work around that to heal and to get better. And I have a good relationship with my dad now, you know, of course, you know, and he's apologized maybe just a year ago. He finally apologized to me for what happened. And yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad that has happened for you now. And you can intellectualize it and rationalize it now and go forward. Of course. Great. The problem is you can have a great relationship with him, even with your mom. You can forgive. You can move forward. Wonderful. But programming shows itself most heavily in love relationships. And it's why you can have great friends, great family relationships, rearing your kids perfectly fine, all of it. It's in the love relationship area that our programming comes up. Because when we're being programmed from birth to age 7, it is the human condition to interpret ourselves against the backdrop of being lovable, wanted, worthy, valuable. That's just the human condition, because we only know two things as the human animal we are, or mammal that we are, when we come out of the womb. We are a blank slate, in a way. We have a hard drive, but none of the software has been put in yet. And the programming is the software. And it's only interpreted through a lens of that baby mind as, am I worthy and lovable? And this starts because if I'm not loved by that main love figure, mostly mother, and tangentially father, I will not survive. I must be loved and wanted, or I won't survive. We only know that, and we know how to suckle. That's it. So everything that goes into us from our environment, outside world, everything that is done, said, intuited, all of it is interpreted through the lens of, am I worthy enough? Am I enough to survive? And that's how profound it is. So that is in your subconscious. For each of us, it's there, and only is triggered in love relationships. We are programmed by age 7 with that self-concept of our worth, value, all of it. And then we start seeing the world through that lens, and we invite people into our lives that are seen, felt, interpreted as what love actually is. So it doesn't surprise me that your ex-husband likely showed you these things of how he might be treating you even before marriage, potentially, but also why you stayed and had the 3 children, because you didn't have in your programming anything other than what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. But I know, like, yeah, I saw things before, but it was almost like it was too late when I saw things. But I could have just taken my, I was already pregnant, I think, by the time I started seeing certain things. But I didn't have to marry him. I could have, gone back to my hometown and just had my child. But I felt like I didn't want to be seen in a certain light.
Right.
I didn't want to be a statistic.
Yes.
So I had to marry this man, even though he showed me a lot of things about how I would be treated. Yeah.
Right. So you had your 3 children. Great. they're going to be great, they're taken care of, you've done a great job with that in terms of your career success, and also your ex who's going to be helping with that and providing for them, great. Now you can set about having the relationship that you know you deserve, but that your programming likely has kept you from having. When you free yourself from that, when you know your own worth and value in this way, and you change the programming of what love is, because each of us have a belief system of what love is, not what the dictionary says it is, not what society says it is, but actually what was programmed in us to know that it is, we've got to change it to what we want it to be by our self-talk, by our overriding the programming from our conscious mind through repetition, just like it was through repetition that we got programmed. We can do this, and you can do it, and you can have more of what you want. It doesn't have to be on either end of the scale. It can be more in the middle. We also don't know if one can move more towards what it is that you might want. And why I say that is that even though he's saying about the house that he has in the terrible neighborhood, of course, yes, you're not going to go there or take your kids there. Why would you do that? But through him, perhaps if you love and care about him enough, you can start to guide him in a way that he will not feel emasculated. He may change and want more towards what you want if he starts to feel enough. I don't know that he does.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's going to take some doing on your part. First and foremost, for every woman, you have to get to the place of knowing all that you are, all that you have, all that you're able to give, and not just intellectually, but down deep. And that's done by overriding the programming. And then you'll know more about one, and you will know more even how you feel about him. Because I'm not sure you're really clear on how you feel about him.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Because you're wrestling with a lot. It's like you have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. And the angel is your consciousness, your rational, intellectual awareness. That's the angel, because it knows everything. But then there's the subconscious part. That's more like the devil, because it has a really big hold on us. And it's telling you that you aren't truly worthy. This is from the programming of not even being worthy of being given your rightful place in your home. And then the treatment, perhaps, that you got from both parents. I mean, your mom, that was a really awful thing to have done. And we didn't even get to mom. And you've likely forgiven her because of her stuff that you know, and you know she's not an evil person, but you were still victimized by it. We can't negate that. Doesn't mean she meant to. But she did not put your interests first and foremost. That is also a very big, very, very big subconscious programmed slight when mom doesn't protect us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have done so well in your life. You have to know that. And this is the last part of it that's going to have you have the real love and happiness you deserve. You have to get to this point of recognizing it, knowing it, and setting about changing it so that you can have all you deserve. Everybody has to get to that point when they have had trauma such as yours. We need to call it what it is. It just is. Yes, we can intellectualize it and conceptualize it now as the adults we are, but that child, it was trauma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're in a very good place to be able to do this, and then you will know more how you feel. You will start to be able to more exert your needs and wants in a way that can be okay with one to whatever degree it can be, so that you can find out if this can possibly go the distance.
Okay.
Because you've got to find that out for yourself. There's parts of him that you love, but love doesn't conquer all. It's likely that you and your ex loved each other too. It doesn't conquer all, if only, right? It just, love does not conquer all. It has to be there, but it alone conquers nothing in terms of what we have to navigate in our lives.
I would agree, yes.
Yeah, and that's why you say it's a choice. Love is a choice. It's actually a whole host of things. And I think what you're saying is that you make the choice whether to step into it or not, or to go with it or not. And I can totally understand why you chose to with your ex-husband. Because like you said, it seemed to be a very good rational choice.
Mm-hmm.
It made a lot of sense. You wanted children, you wanted the same things, all of it. Now, as you've grown, and I'm glad you did not stay in that quite abusive situation. It just was. The withholding, the not speaking to you, having to make an appointment to talk to him, etc. The control. Give yourself kudos for having gotten out of that. Listen, it's always sad for a divorce situation with children involved. I'm not negating that, and I'm not pro-divorce. But because we're dealing with something likely that cannot change, you didn't have much of a choice. And you, the part of you, the strength in you that said, I'm not going to continue to have that kind of abusive situation. That's good. That's great. You want your children to see that. You would not want them to be seeing something less.
Yes.
Right. So this is good. So what are your questions to me before we end today? Because I know that this may not have gone in exactly the way you were thinking it might, but I think you got clear on one issue, which is your ex, hopefully.
Yeah, I did. And it's weird because, like, it's one of those things where it's something that many people have told me over and over and over. You know, like, I had, like, a spiritual advisor tell me, like, there's no... Like, no, like Jesus said, he said the ancestors have ended this marriage, you know? And these are people who are not pro-divorce. And even, like, with me, when I would get quiet, you know, to try to go within, it was just like, there's not going to be any sweetness here for you, like, that you have to go. So, yeah, I guess that this did help me gain a lot more clarity on that situation. And I hope I can lay it to rest finally, like, and bury it somewhere and not try to dig it up and just move forward with, and even just burying that should help me be able to gain more clarity on how I feel even about Juan. Just even just burying that possibility, like, just is gone, you know? So yes, it was helpful.
Good. One of the reasons it's going to be hard for you and why you're going to need to work towards burying it via a decision is because of wondering what I'm going to tell Bev she needs to do to help herself and to help Juan get to a place where Bev can actually make a decision like she did regarding her ex. In the rest of this episode, I outline for Bev the one thing that will begin to change everything in her love relationships so that she has the best chance of finding out if Juan is truly her one. And because I want you to get the results you desire with your current or future Juan, I invite you to check out the 80/20 Wonder Club, an exclusive membership-only club of the Make Him Wonder podcast, where you'll get nearly 200 ad-free episodes categorized by age and relationship status, plus all new episodes the moment they're formatted and ready to be aired, unfiltered coaching conversations like this one, with all my advice and principles to have you succeeding in your romantic life. And there is more. The 80/20 Wonder Club includes my Making Magic with Men Mindset Manual, a video series of mindset and mechanics practices for you to do at your own pace. It alone is valued at over $500 and is all yours as a member. Join monthly and cancel at any time, or save by committing to a 6 or 12 month membership. And not only will you save by committing to more, you'll receive a coaching intensive experience where you'll be talking to me in a conversation like you just heard. You choose the date anytime during your 12-month membership, and I'll be answering all your questions on getting what you desire and deserve in your love life. Check it out at the 8020wonder.club and join us, as that is the only way you'll be able to hear the steps Bev needs to take to free herself of self-doubt and doubts regarding her decision about Juan. Don't miss out on how to make your man wonder in the right way to have the divine right results you desire and deserve in your romantic life. Go now to the8020wonder.club. That's the 8020wonder.club. You and your love will be glad you did.